Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We've been going through the book of 1 John on Wednesday nights, and tonight we start in chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to take a look at God's love. That's the title of the sermon, Taking a Look at God's Love. If there was one writer in the Bible that really was captivated and fascinated by the love of God, it was John, who wrote, you know, this portion of Scripture. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the book of Revelation. But John is absolutely overwhelmed that God loves him. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope tonight in these three verses, as we dig into this, I hope we kind of have a little bit more of an understanding of the love of God. 1 John chapter 3, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. John writes, and he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." The world doesn't understand it. The world doesn't understand us that have Christ as their Savior. They don't understand us. They didn't understand Jesus. And the Bible tells us in verse 2, John then says, he says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, dear God, for your grace and mercy in our life. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love. What a tremendous blessing it is, Heavenly Father, to know you as our Savior, but also, God, to know the fact that you did something for us that we could not do for ourselves when you died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Lord, you absolutely love us. And Father, I'll be honest, sometimes it's hard to fathom. It's hard to fathom, God, humanly speaking, sometimes, God, how much you love us. But God, we know you do because your word tells us that. So, Father, I pray that we'll press in tonight and we'll hear and we'll be obedient to what your Spirit of God has to say for us through your word. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When you think about the facet here of the love of God, there was a song that came to my mind. I actually meant to have this open, but forgot about it. It was written, and just listen to some of the words. "The love of God is greater far than tongue or men could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin." The last verse of this song says, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." The chorus, you know it, says, "O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song." The love of God. John was absolutely captivated and overwhelmed with the topic and the subject of the love of God. From the very first word in this text, the word "behold," John starts and he uses the word "behold." That word is a powerful word, because what that word means, it means to fix our eyes upon. It means to see with it. Attention. It means to observe with care. It means to really, truly, if you just kind of flesh it out in your mind, it doesn't mean just a casual glance. It doesn't mean just kind of casually glance over it. No, John wants us to press in, and he wants us to really focus in with attention. You remember when you were growing up, or how many of us have kids and they were small, and we'd be talking to them, and they would, you know, we knew they were hearing us, but they weren't hearing us. You know what I mean? And then you'd look at them and say, "Look up here." Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then once you've made eye contact with them and they looked you in the eye and they responded, yes, I'm hearing what you're saying. That's kind of the image and that's kind of the language that John uses in the word behold. He wants to captivate. He wants to capture our attention. He wants us to press in. He wants us to really engage the topic that he's getting ready to tell us about, that being the love of God. We're going to take a look tonight at taking a look at God's love. Chapter 3 begins really a new theme in the book of 1 John. The first two chapters have to deal with our fellowship. If you think with just for a moment that the context that the Bible said in the earlier chapters, it tells us that God is light. Because he is a God of light, that indicates to us that we, because of the fact that he's a God of light, we can have fellowship with him. We can have fellowship with the Father. We can have fellowship with the Son. We can have fellowship with God's family. And that's really all kind of brought out in the first two chapters. Chapters 3 through 5, for the rest of the book, John talks and has the theme regarding the love of God. The key verse of chapter 4, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It is because God is love that made it possible for you and I that are born again believers in Christ, it was God's love that made it possible for us to be in God's family. The first two chapters deal with sonship or deal with fellowship. The chapters 3, 4, and 5 deal with our sonship. We are justified. If you're born again, you have Christ as your Savior. You have a justified standing before God the Father. But as we dig through these verses tonight, I want to give you a few things. Because of God's love, notice three things. We see, first of all, a current reality. The context of the love of God, John wants us to see our current reality. You see, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not careful, we can just kind of go through life and just kind of skate through life and really not understand where we're at right now, where we stand right now when it comes to God. If you're born again, I hope you understand this because it's a powerful, powerful truth. He tells us in verse 1, the current reality here, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now are we. Underline that. Beloved, now are we, present tense, current reality, now are we the sons of God. Now, in the context, though, verse 2, he uses the word beloved. That is a fascinating word. He told us in verse 1, he uses the word behold. He wants us to press in. He doesn't want us to do just kind of casual glance. No, he wants us to really pay attention to the topic regarding the love of God. The word, this current reality, by the word beloved here, the word beloved there means greatly loved. It's a word, I love this definition. It not only means greatly loved, it means dear to the heart. So when John is telling us, behold, press in, pay attention to the topic of love. Verse 2, he tells us, beloved, he calls us beloved. Meaning that you and I, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you are dear to the heart of God. You are greatly loved by God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful tonight to know that my Lord and Savior chose to love a lost and dying world. What a great God that he is. So in the context of this current reality, it's a now, it's a current, it's a present. He says, behold, now are we the sons of God. Literally, it means children of God. If you're born again, if you've repented and placed your faith in Christ, you know, and by the way, that's why it's so important. This is another good truth, Brian, to really kind of keep Scripture in its context. Because by taking verse 2 out of context, you could say, well, see right there, the Bible says we're all God's children. Well, the problem with that ideology is this. That is not what that verse is telling us. Now, if you take that verse out of context and say, well, see right there, we're the sons of God. No, friend, you got to read chapters 1 and 2 and verse 1 of this text to understand the contextually John is talking to the born-again believer. And that's a big deal. So this born-again believer, he says, you're beloved. So let me give you some thoughts on that, under this current reality. And I pray to the Lord that you'll hear this, because this really thrilled my heart as I was digging through it today. We see under this current reality, letter A, you are greatly loved. Literally, you are greatly loved by God. Now, that may not seem like a big deal to you, but ladies and gentlemen, you got to get a hold of that. You are greatly loved, regardless of what this world may throw at you, regardless of what society may do to you. We prayed tonight for the Mabry boys, you know, Thomas and Gerald and Lorenzo, little Lorenzo, little short man syndrome Lorenzo. But we prayed for them tonight. And you know what? We love those boys. How many of you know their story? Handful of you do. Right now, their dad's in jail. Right now, their stepmother, they had to file a missing person report on her. They've been home by themselves for 5 or 6 days. No food. We found out about it and would take them food. You know what I'm grateful for tonight? They have a heavenly Father because they, by their test, by their profession of faith, they place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And by that, the heavenly Father greatly loves those boys. He greatly loves those boys. Pat, you prayed and it's the truth. When you see those boys, you wouldn't think they had a care in the world. You wouldn't think they had any problems or issues in their life. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, so many times if we're not careful, we can see people but not, and again, it's not. I'm not knocking anyone, but we can see people and we can just think, wow, they dress nice, they look nice. They must not have a care in the world. Up until yesterday, right? Yesterday, when their sister took them, they didn't know where they were going to get their next meal from. You say, "Why, Pastor? We didn't know." And, well, as a church, you know, that's one of the ministries that you all have, and you don't even realize you have it. Sometimes we do benevolent. Deacons are good about that. We do benevolent ministries. Sometimes a benevolent ministry is filling up a refrigerator of three boys. That's what you guys do. You didn't even realize that. But that's what you do. They're blowing up messaging trying to be able to get here for Sunday. Right now they're in Taylor at their sister's house. But I'm thankful tonight that I have a God that loves them dearly. They're greatly loved, but ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand something. When you take a look at this and you really press in and you pay attention to this, you'll also know that you as well are greatly loved of God. That's a big deal. You're greatly loved. I remember reading, it was Dr. Tim Clinton, I believe, wrote the book, or Dr. Gary Sipsey, one of those fellas. They were talking about, they're psychologists, and they were talking about from the standpoint of children. And I would add, not just children, I would say just human beings in general. So they said in the context of children, they said that every child needs to have at least one person that is crazy about them. They need to have at least one person that is crazy about them. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, and this does not distort the text, God is crazy about you. He is crazy about me. He's an amazing Heavenly Father. He's an amazing God. So you are greatly loved, but we see in this current reality, it's a great love, letter A, but letter B, it's a God love. The Bible says, behold what manner, verse 1, of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We're the recipients of the love from the Heavenly Father. He bestowed it upon us. The word bestowed, I loved on word studies. The word bestowed, it means given. It means done. It means or obtained without or pay, without payment. It means free. It means voluntarily. This is good. It means conferred, laid out, applied. It also means deposited for safekeeping. So John tells us there in verse 1, behold what manner of the love the Father hath poured out on us, bestowed, hath freely given to us, hath given to us without payment. That's the God that we serve. He's a God that just absolutely, you know, lavished on us his love. He's a wonderful Savior. It's a great love. It's a great love. It's also a God love. It's a given love. God the Father bestowed it upon us. It's a given love, and we've already expounded on that. It's a gracious love. If you think with me for a minute about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Wow. God gave us his Son. It's a gracious love. And then I was thinking of another word. I'm like, I've got to have another word. There's because all those don't really encompass all that I'm trying to say. So I wrote another word. It's a big word. It's grandiose. Grandiose love. And I looked up what the word grandiose means. It means magnificent. It means majestic. It means monumental love. Monumental, it means great in importance, great in extent, great in size. The point being is God's love. Here's our current reality. God's love is so amazing, it's almost humanly impossible to fathom how much he loves us. I love the song Pat sings. He sang the other night, and I asked him to do that. You know, he's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. He loves us. What a tremendous, tremendous father that he is. So we see this current reality. But second of all, notice a coming expectancy. Notice the coming expectancy. He says in verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Then underline this next. I've got this whole verse. Actually, I have the entire verse, verse 2 and verse 3, are underlined in my Bible. And they've been underlined in my Bible for a long, long time. But verse 2, and look at this. Beloved, now are we, that's the present tense, the sons, the children of God. And then notice what he says, here's this coming expectancy. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. He says, and it doth not yet appear what we, the children of God, what we shall be. Now, notice what this expectancy does for us. The Bible goes on and he says, and I'm going to get ahead of it. I'm going to park for a second, but I want to read the rest of this, kind of keeping it in the context. It says, it doth not yet appear, verse 2, what we shall be, but we know that when he, that's Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him, underlined, circled, in pink in my Bible, as he is. So this expectancy, notice what it does for us personally. One writer said, he said, in the context in describing, you know, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One writer said, what his take on that is, he writes this, he says, we can't even imagine what it's going to be like later on. If you know Jesus as your Savior, the passage is indicating to us, it's indicative and telling us, you can't even imagine. We cannot even begin to fathom what it's going to be like when we see him. When we see Jesus, if you know him as your Savior, you're going to see him. You're going to see him. You say, preacher, wow. Let me say it like this. Let me keep it in the proper context. You're going to see the one, if you're born again, you're going to see the one who is crazy about you. He's crazy about you as far as his love. I mean, you say, preacher, I never really thought about that. I mean, I'll be honest, with all the bad things that happen in my life, I wonder sometimes that God loves me. Here's what I learned about my father, and I preached this past Sunday. His plans aren't our plans. His ways aren't our ways. Our ways aren't his ways. Our plans aren't his plans. You say, preacher, what's the point? He is a God that does all things well. He does all things well. You said, preacher, you talked about the Mabry boys. What good could come out in that? Well, what good could come out in their dad being in prison or dad being in jail? And what good could come out of their stepmom kind of running away and being gone? Don't know where she's at. What good could come out of that? I was talking to the Lord about him the other day. My wife's been really active in their life lately. They love coming over our house. They love being around my boys, my daughter, our dogs. But I was talking to the Lord about them the other day, and I said, Lord, I beg you, my wife and I, we pray for them all the time. I said, God, I beg you to intervene in their life. And I said, God, because by what they're going through, and I told the Lord this. I said, God, by what they're going through, I said, Lord, you could intervene in their life and make them amazing trophies of your grace. Thomas is looking to go into the Army, Bill. He had a recruiter, and my wife actually was dad's in jail. Stepmom's gone. He had a recruiter coming to the house Tuesday night, right? Tuesday night? Monday night? My wife's crying. I'm crying. He reached out to my wife and he said, I've got a recruiter that's coming. I'm looking to possibly go into the Army. He said, Miss Leslie, would you come over and be with me when he gets here? So my wife and Toby, they went over and they sat with him. And you said, preacher, why are you saying all that? I'm saying it because I serve a God, and so do you if you're born again. We serve a God that loves to take seemingly impossible situations and infuse them with his grace and mercy so that then people will just stand and say, looking at their lives and what it's become, what a mighty God we serve. He's an amazing God. And you have to understand, these boys, I promise you this, you never hear them complain. Now, they'll argue with each other a little bit. My wife gets on them like they're her own boys. She says, you're going to stop this arguing. She said, I don't let my boys do this. She said, I don't let my own kids argue. You boys ain't going to do it. And we treat them like our own. And you guys do the same. This, as a church family, you have welcomed those boys. You've rolled those boys in. You have loved on them, and you continue to love on them. And I say, keep doing it. You never know. You never know what God may do in and through their lives. And John, he's saying this coming expectancy, we personally, letter A, this what does it do for us personally? You can't even imagine. Oh, the joy, the excitement, the expectancy that is in that phrase. And we see it prophetically. I'm going to end with two more thoughts under this. We see it prophetically that this is kind of a prophecy of Christ. It says, verse 2, Beloved, now we the sons of God, doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that. But here it is. Here's the prophecy. When he shall appear. What is the prophecy of? That is prophecy of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We believe, and the Bible supports, and we believe 100% this is accurate, in the premillennial rapture of God's people, Jesus, or pre-tribulation, Jesus Christ, premillennial as well, but pre-tribulation, Jesus Christ, the next on God's eschatological table, if you will, as far as the end times table, is Jesus Christ, I believe is the rapture. We're going to be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds, to meet the Lord, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul told the Thessalonican church, he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So we see personally, we can't even imagine What we're going to experience when we see him. Prophetically, we know that Jesus Christ is coming again. But notice powerfully, look at this. We're going to end in verse 2. It doth not yet appear, verse 2, what we shall be. But we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him. And notice this. For we shall see him as he is. But back up to that phrase before that. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. You see, when we see Jesus, guess what? When we see him for the first time, we're going to have a glorified body. We're not going to have all the pain and all the issues that we've had. You're also, you see, when Jesus saves us, when you get saved, and we know this and you know this, but when Jesus saves you, he now has saved you if you've been born again. If you've repented and believed in the death, burial, and resurrection, and you ask God to save you, and he saved you, God at that very moment saved you from the penalty of sin. He continues to save us, right, currently, so we were saved from the penalty of sin when God born us again. We currently are still being saved from the power of sin in our life. As we yield ourselves to Christ, we're being saved from the power of sin. But when we see Jesus, whether that be in the rapture or whether that be by death, if you die in Christ, do you realize when you see him, you then have now been saved from the very presence of sin? That's phenomenal to me. To be saved from the very presence. You see, we live in a world that sin is all around us. So the it's powerful. We see the powerfully. We see it personally. We see it prophetically. But we see it powerfully. We shall be like him. What a word, man. What a word. What a tremendous. And John, so keep it in the context. It's all made possible because of his love. We know salvation is by grace, but sweet friend, had Jesus not chose to love us, we'd all split hell wide open. But the good news is, he chose to love us. And John says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, lavishly, without payment, without freely, that's what the bestowed. And then he says there, in that verse 2, beloved, I couldn't see it because I took my glasses off, so I had to try to remember what it was. Beloved, all dearly, greatly loved, dear to the heart of God. That's how much he loves you. You're dear to his heart. No matter what happens in this world, No matter what happens in our lives, no matter what goes on in the neighbor's lives, no matter what goes on in your life, on the authority of the Bible, you're dear to his heart. He's a wonderful Savior, friend. I tell you all the time, and I know perhaps you just kind of check out when I tell you this because I've said it so much. His love for us. It is not based on our performance. I tell you that all the time. Why do I tell you that? Because sometimes we blow it. No, I ain't gonna say, sometimes I do. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we mess up. But you got to get a hold of something that does not affect his love for you. He loves you. He loves us. Stand with me, please, for him invitation. Brother Brian's going to come and lead us in invitation. But if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus, sweet friend, I encourage you tonight to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. Say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but I've never been baptized. Hey, we'd love to baptize you. We have several, actually, I think, now awaiting baptism, which we're thankful for. Grateful to God for that. Baptism is simply an outward expression of an inward experience. You've trusted Christ, so you're baptized. You picture to a lost and dying world and to the church that's here what you now have identified in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection when you got saved. Maybe tonight you'd like to submit to baptism. Maybe here tonight you say, "Preacher, I'll be honest. I struggle sometimes with, does anybody love me?" Well, I hope tonight, I mean this, I hope tonight we've settled at least one issue. And that is that none of us watching the internet, none of us in this room, none of us can walk out of this room saying that nobody loves us. Because I promise you on the authority of the Bible, God loves us. He loves you unconditionally. He loves us with a love that John couldn't even hardly fathom it. He couldn't hardly even fathom it. Invitation, if you need to come, we give you an opportunity. If you'd like to come and pray, we give you an opportunity to do that. What's the number, bud? 410. You come as we sing. Hymn number 410.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God.
Well, amen. We appreciate your good attention tonight. Thank you for being a part of our service. Brother Brian, any other closing announcements?
Sure. Let's see. Sunday evening, April 9th, business meeting. Don't forget that. Also, Resurrection Sunday, April 16th. Please keep in mind there will be no Sunday school, but there will be worship service at 11 a.m. And then the Easter egg hunt for the children will be right after that. That's ages 10 years and under. Sign up at the Welcome Center and donate filled plastic eggs. So if you have any eggs, you can donate. And there will be no evening service on Resurrection Sunday, so don't forget about that. And all kinds of other stuff going on. Color of the Cross, Monday, April 17th at 9:30 a.m. If you're interested in joining that ministry, please see the Welcome Center in the back. But they meet at the